Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to more than Craig Breslow. And that is a fact. It doesn't matter if it's the end of spring training, the moment, whatever it is. That is a fact. It also is great that I get the chance to talk to you at the end of spring training. I think I did it last year, too.
You can make this
You said, let it be said, let it be done. I was asking you if you've had any shenanigans, and I said, spring training shenanigans. And I said, I always default to the Mookie Betts driving the golf cart. I don't think you were on the team then.
No, I was gone.
But remember that moment.
Yeah, and it's been a largely uneventful spring thus far, save for Brayden Ward just pulled his pickup truck behind.
He literally just picked up his pickup truck to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the thing. When you set records in spring training for anything, you get to pick up, you pull your pickup truck to the clubhouse.
Maybe that was the prize. Maybe you want a new truck for setting the spring training old base record.
I think that may have been the Steve Pierce truck. I don't know. Anyway, so nothing, no. You don't have time. Like, that's the thing. As a player, you probably have a whole lot. You, like, probably yearn for that free time that you have as a player. Mm. You don't have free time anymore.
I don't. I don't have free time. And that's okay. But, yeah, I am not driving golf carts around. I give myself the opportunity to drive into a lake.
Stop tape. What's been based non-baseball-wise, how has this spring training? So this is third, right? So how does this one feel, like, compared to other ones? And they're all different, right? Mm-hmm. They're all different. And especially, like, you probably feel like that first one, everything's new. The second one's a little less new. This one...
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if it's because, many of the positions on the roster seem to be kind of spoken for. There's some, obviously, competition maybe on the margins, but things are pretty well set. It does seem like... got our feet under us a little bit more. Things are moving a little bit slower, like everybody else. We're just hoping to get guys in, make sure they get their work done, prepare themselves for the season, and avoid significant injuries.
You almost haven't even, like, I'm always fascinated by the round table. Like, okay, everybody, let's get together and let's make a team. It's like the Hard Knocks thing. I got a feeling that's probably a little less happens a little less, like, get to the end of spring training. Okay, what do we think? And because you're doing it every day, right? Is that right?
Yeah, even going back, toward the end of last season and into the postseason and then early on in the offseason, just thinking about what are the obvious opportunities to improve the roster in the short term, in the long term, where are the deficiencies, get with the coaches, get with Alex, and try to get as many different perspectives as we can and then go out and execute. And as we're working through specific acquisitions, we're in constant communication with the coaching staff. So there's I think, a far better understanding alignment around, what type of players that we need and how they fit into the roster and, how all the pieces come together so that we're not getting to the end of March and saying, okay, now that we have this collection of players, how do we put them all together to make a functional team?
So because it's always about me, when I coach high school basketball, you go into a year season and you're like, okay, I think this is how it's going to be. I think we're going to run a lot of isolations. But actually, I think we're going to run a motion offense and we run a lot of isolations. You go into this spring training and you're like, okay, I think this is how the roster is going to be. As it evolved, now, my guess is that the answer to this is that you sign, okay, we need a couple veteran relievers. I don't know. But how has it been different 38 days later than when you started in terms of how you thought this team would land?
Yeah. I think as information has better informed decision-making and projections become more accurate, there are fewer and fewer surprises when you get to spring training. You've got a pretty good idea of who players are, save for, development work in the offseason. Pitchers come in throwing a lot harder or adding a new pitch, and it changes the way that you evaluate them, or hitters come in bigger and stronger. Or injuries, right? Like, those are kind of the two paths to needing to take a refreshed look at the way the roster comes together. But I think generally, teams go into spring training with a much much better idea of who the players are that they have, on their roster. And so, 38 days later, whatever it is, I think the team that we thought we could be, the identity we thought we could build, is starting to take shape, which I think is a good thing.
So that said, give me somebody that has been a little bit different than you thought it would, or maybe even a specific part of somebody's game. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's probably more of, is there a certain aspect of somebody's game, whether it's, Durbin working on pulling the ball a little bit more, and we've seen him take advantage of the wall here, and think he could hit a bunch of doubles for us. I think Braden Ward, we knew he was fast, but didn't get a great appreciation for his ability to get on base, and then kind of fearlessness combined with instincts to make him such a good base stealer. We felt like the identity of the team was probably going to shift a bit toward run prevention, just given the acquisitions that we have. We thought we think we can pitch really well. We think we can convert balls that are put in play into outs. I think we're starting to see that. We've just generally played a much cleaner brand of baseball. And then we want to be more aggressive, more athletic on the bases, steal bases, take advantage of going first to third, use the overall athleticism and team speed. We've got to continue to push on those things, but I think the initial returns are promising.
You said that about playing clean baseball, and I always said this when it came to spring training, is obviously not about wins and losses. I mean, science would suggest that. But it's really, for me, Craig, it's always been about how clean the team is playing at the end. Like, that's to me, because I remember I don't remember if you were on these teams, but Tito had a couple years where you had good teams that made the playoffs, but off to terrible starts. Mm-hmm. And I remember being the last week of spring training, and like, this isn't great. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I just think so much of baseball, because you play so many games in such a short amount of time, is momentum. And, I don't think, to your point, I don't think it's so much about, what team has the best record coming out of spring training, but, which team is able to create its identity, understands the way that it's going to win baseball games over the course of a season. And we generally have been playing clean baseball, largely errorless baseball. We've been running the bases well, and we did that with a bulk of our roster away at the WBC, so hopefully that's a good indication of what things to come here.
So with the understanding that run prevention and all that, I do come back to when I was sitting in your suite in the GM meetings staring at the sphere. Great view of your room. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
But we've cited this a bunch of times. The goal was to get the top of the rotation starter and the guy who hit home runs. And you get Wilson Contreras, I get that. But you take away Alex Bregman. When you don't get Bregman, you pivot to run prevention. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put words in, pivot. Would that be fair to say?
Well, what I would say is, the top line objective was make our team better. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then a seemingly straightforward path to doing that would be to improve the offense and particularly the damage that we could do. When we didn't line up on that, the objective of making the team better didn't change, and we needed to figure out another way to do that. But it wasn't I think pivot implies that there's a sequence or an order to the way that you do things. Nobody can perfectly sequence the offseason. You're always thinking multiple paths toward accomplishing whatever you set out to accomplish, which again was improve the team, build on an 89-win team and team that made it to the postseason. That was what we were anchored to, and then we tried to identify how many different paths could get us there and kind of push all in on them in parallel.
So was this path a path that you ever thought you would see?
A path that was identified early on.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And the way that baseball off seasons play out is you typically have no idea what plan 1 B C D E F and G may be, because you execute on one and that's what you pay attention to and focus on. I learned pretty early on in this role that if you just have a singular path, I think most likely you're going to end up disappointed.
When this is a cliche question, but when you go into the offseason, we're going through the offseason, and you're right. I mean, you have different paths. You know things aren't going to work out. But you also have a feeling for maybe how the offseason's going to go. And this is why you talk trades. This is why you talk to guys and everything else. What was the biggest surprise maybe of this offseason, looking back at it and the way that it went?
I don't know. And that's not to say that there weren't surprises, but more just like I'm maybe not in the best position to evaluate that because we're so in the weeds, right? And like the battle that we are constantly fighting in the office is like making sure that we can zoom out and appreciate like the totality of building a roster, putting a team together, the opportunities to improve and make sure that we're not so narrowly focused on an individual path that we lose other really good opportunities along the way. So I think at some point I'll look back, and we always do this, we kind of look back and you know, debrief on the offseason and our decision making, identify what information we had when we made the decision. Was it the right information? Was it the best information? Should we have made a different type of decision? I just don't know that we're at a place to be able to do that yet.
So obviously the headliner was Bregman. And when you look back, or when you were going through that, you don't obviously, specifics are, there's a ton of them. But overall, when you look at that, about that pursuit, there's a lot of elements to it. There's the relationship. There's the difference in the tack that he's taking compared to last year. There's, what he ended up prioritizing. Maybe you didn't know he was I don't know. Like, so what, looking back at that, was, will you remember about that instance?
Yeah, every situation, every pursuit is unique, and teams make decisions for certain reasons, players make decisions for certain reasons, and I'm going to avoid getting into the details and specifics. Alex was here last year. He contributed a ton. He obviously left an impact on the organization and the players, and he's now in Chicago, and I'm sure preparing for his season in San Francisco.
But I guess the question would be, you're right, he makes decisions for specific reasons. Did any of the reasons surprise you guys, or why he made his decision?
Yeah, I don't think it makes a ton of sense for me to try to put myself in his shoes.
You really wish I would talk about driving a golf cart in the lake right now. But along those lines, I talked to Roman in the WBC. By the way, congratulations on not going that. It's better watching on TV. That's a lot. In Roman, if you have a trade to make, let me know.
No.
But if Roman talked about, like, obviously Bregman and went over the top about that and everything else, but it leads to, like, the clubhouse dynamic. And I know that you understand this, the importance of the clubhouse dynamic, the importance of what Bregman was in terms of different ways. And you've been in plenty of clubhouses, winning clubhouses. It's not like, oh, we have to have that sort of guy. But there is that element of having a sort of guy, like Wilson Contreras, I feel, is a sort of guy, of a guy who is going to lead in his own way. Justin Turner led his own way. Like, how much do you prioritize that? How do you look at that? Because you've taken out, obviously, a big part of that. How do you look at this club? I guess that's a long-winded way. How do you look at this clubhouse in that respect?
Yeah, I think it's a recipe for trouble to believe that from the office we can pull strings to create an identity in the clubhouse or to create a culture in the clubhouse. Like, the clubhouse belongs to the players, and I say that having spent more time in the clubhouse than I did than I have in a front office. And I've never been on a good team that didn't develop an identity over the course of spring training into the season and didn't have leaders emerge. Sometimes those with reputations for being strong leaders, and sometimes because there was a void that needed to be filled, and it was just like the natural evolution of someone's personality and career. So what I am comfortable with is, like, this is a, this is a group of guys that are growing together, that share this common vision for trying to win as many games as possible, for wanting to win a World Series championship and bring that to our fans in Boston. We share that with them. Our coaches share that with them. But I think you kind of have to let the players come together and let leadership and an identity form organically. That said, guys like Trevor Story and Wilson Contreras and Garrett Crochet and others have some natural leadership abilities and positive influence on others. And so, I'm I'm excited to see who kind of steps into maybe a bit of the leadership void.
You know who that, so I never thought that Roman Anthony, I don't know if you know this, Roman Anthony's 21 years old, right? It's kind of crazy, though. Yeah, you looked up baseball reference.
Yeah.
The easy narrative of, like, oh man, they're putting a lot on his plate. But, Greg, this is my own thing. I think he can handle it. I don't know if I've seen a 21-year-old like him, like his maturity is. And I honestly believe also he can be that guy, one of these guys you're talking about at 21. He's not going to be, like, getting on a stool and saying, hey, guys, this is how it's done. But I think that he has that element of it to him.
Sure. We all have an image of what leadership is supposed to look like.
Mm.
That's kind of held only by us, as right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing that says, well, this is the type of leader that this club needs, right? Like, as someone who isn't in the clubhouse every single day, you know, and playing, putting on a uniform alongside 25 others, like, I don't think it's fair to jump to that conclusion. So, to your point, like, leaders will emerge,
yeah.
And they'll take kind of different shapes, but, yeah, we, you know,